Geek Radio Daily. It's all the geek without the wait for Tuesday, November 17th, 2009. Good morning.
Good morning.
Feeling better?
A little bit.
The back still effing with you?
Yes, it is.
You should punch it in the head. Maybe it's a whole big karma thing coming back on all of us with sickness and backaches. I'm not sure. But that's what I'll say, possibility. Oh, by the way, that there being the Bruce.
He is a bad, bad man.
This is true.
See, karma says. Karma says. And, wow, that's odd. And me, of course, threatening to punch people in the face when I go to work, I'm Billy Flynn.
I'm not going to live by their rules anymore.
Damn right I am.
No, you're not.
This date, November 17th, in 1869, the Suez Canal opened in Egypt. 1933, the United States recognized the Soviet Union. Up till that, they just thought it looked a little familiar. 1966, 46,000 meteoroids fell over Arizona within a 20-minute time span. Really? They counted all of those?
Well, a rough estimate. I'm sure okay. It was like off by two or three.
1991, the first TV condom ad aired on Fox, of course.
Oh, hey.
And 2006, Element 111, Roentgenium, was officially named. I still lovingly refer to it as the 111. You might have saw the meteor shower last night if you were up from 1 a.m. through dawn.
Yeah.
There was 20 to 30 flying over an hour. But I was sleeping, which is sad.
Out, yeah.
Oh, and also today, make sure you run by your video game store and pick up your pre-ordered copies of Assassin's Creed 2, Left 4 Dead 2, and Tony Hawk Ride.
Yeah.
Okay, make that happen.
Let's go with the birthdays this morning. Let's go with, I'm skipping a few. I'm going straight to Daisy Fuentes.
Okay.
43 years old.
Okay. Christopher Paoloni, whatever the hell, the guy who made Aragon and all that crap. He's 26 today, and apparently he's ever made that last book, the fourth book in the trilogy. I don't know. I don't either. I lost track because I didn't think Aragon was that good a book.
Yeah.
And it was an even worse movie. An even worse movie.
I remember talking about that one a long time ago.
Woo! Yeah. Zoe Bell's 31. She's a stunt woman. She was in Kill Bill Volume 1. Of course, she's probably best known for being in Death Proof and in Grindhouse because... Oh, Zoe. Brandon Call is 33. That's JT Lambert from Step by Step. You're... Longtime favorite
step.
Show. Yeah, you remember that with Patrick Duffy.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
yeah.
God, yeah.
You got anybody else there? Because I can keep going. I got a lot.
Yeah, go ahead.
Leslie Bibbs, 35, Christine Everhart, and Iron Man. Huh? Because she works for Vogue, which is hard-hitting journalistic magazine.
They always get up front with news.
Of course they do. Yeah.
Sure. Let's go with RuPaul.
It's RuPaul's birthday?
49 years old.
Good for her, yeah.
Yeah.
Leonard Roberts is 37, Sean Taylor in Drumline. Of course, probably best known as D.L. Hawkins in Heroes. You know, that first season when it was good.
Yeah.
When it was really good.
Back then. Back in the day.
Ralph Garman's 45, various voices on Family Guy, and I didn't look it up because I was so excited to see it's Kirk Fogg's birthday. He's 50. He hosts Legends of the Hidden Temple. Remember that show back in the day?
Oh, yeah. The big maze thing.
Yeah.
Oh.
Stephen Root's 58. That's Bill Del Treve on King of the Hill and best known as being Milton in Office Space. Have you got my stapler? Is he my stapler? Lorne Michaels is 65. He produces Saturday Night Live quite a bit.
Yeah. Danny DeVito is also 65 today.
Ooh. Martin Scorsese is 67. Did you have that yesterday? Was that my imagination?
Imagination.
Okay. He's a director, of course. And two people no longer with us. Peter Cook, born in 1937, incredibly funny comedian. Stephen Fry called him, quote, the funniest man who ever drew breath. Okay, which goes to show you
that's
how...
That's saying something.
And it would have been Rock Hudson's birthday as well. And since we are doing birthdays, we should probably give a good shout-out and say happy birthday to Code Poet.
Oh, happy birthday,
happy
Code Poet.
Happy birthday, you crazy, weird-looking biker guy.
Not that type of biker, the other type of biker.
He's an evil biker.
Okay.
Evil. Television?
Sure. Over there on CBS, we had the usual lineup of NCIS, NCIS LA.
With the Dream Team.
Yes, and The Good Wife.
They really want me to like, it's America's number one new show. It's like, shut up.
Yeah.
ABC has got a new episode of V, Dancing with the Stars is on, and The Forgotten. So just a very eclectic night of entertainment on ABC.
Yeah. NBC is changing up a little bit. We have Mary Madagascar.
Oh, no.
And then an hour and a half of The Biggest Loser.
Oh. Only an hour and a half, not 2 hours?
Well, it's also on a day early, too.
Oh, I did not realize that. On the CW on 90210, Navid confronts Adriana in a Melrose Place. Amanda fires Caleb. No!
Oh, no.
It's on now.
Spike TV. Something from my childhood and yours, Super Dave Osborne is back with Super Dave Spiketacular.
Hot damn!
Yeah.
Okay. on AMC, another episode of The Prisoner because they're treating it like a miniseries.
Well,
it's kind of back in the day stuff.
Yeah, they are. Over there on the Sci-Fi Channel, you have four straight episodes of Scare Tactics, followed by ECW.
Rawr. Animal Planet on Lost Tapes, it's the Bear Lake Monster, which looks like a big bear. How is it not just a bear? I'm just saying.
I don't know. I want to go to this one, Biography Channel. The biography of Don Knotts.
Aw.
Yeah.
We can learn all about the making of the incredible Mr. Limpet. Family Channel is showing the forgotten Macaulay Culkin film, Richie Rich.
Yeah, it's forgotten for a reason.
Oh, damn, you went there.
Sorry, dude. Sorry, I had to do that. BBC America, Dragon's Den.
Okay.
Yeah.
They have dragons? They come after us?
Maybe.
Entertainment Television, find out if you're money, baby, because they're showing Swingers this evening.
There you go. Sleuth Network, Smoking Aces.
Oh, that's always a good time. Sci-Fi Channel if we're watching anything, because tonight government agents find evidence of extraterrestrial life at the South Pole. Tonight, James Spader and Janine Esser are Alien Hunter.
You got mail, baby.
Yeah, dude, we do. Here's a crazy theory. Dollhouse? That show kind of sucked. As a Joss loyalist, it was hard for me to admit, but the show rarely found its stride. The two most interesting characters, Victor and Sierra, should have been the focus. Eliza Dushku, fantastic as Faith, was never that interesting to watch here. The first line of defense for the show is that you just didn't get it. I'm pretty sure I did. It's just what I got was never that interesting. Here's hoping that this frees Joss up for bigger and better things. That's from Walter. Dollhouse definitely plagued by the network not understanding where he wanted to go, and very little does Joss's vision shine through. But when it does, damn, I enjoy it.
I saw this four episodes of the second season, and I enjoyed one of them.
Wow. Okay. Hey, guys, do you want a wild, unsubstantiated conspiracy theory? Well, I got one for you. Why is the vicar never on the show at the same time as Flynn? What really happened at that Lost show that you did? Could Flynn really be the green-absorbing monster from Doctor Who and absorbed him at the taping, then hypnotized the audience into believing all is okay, then conveniently lost that recorded evidence? Who will be absorbed next, the Bruce, Flinstress, or will it be me for revealing these alleged facts? The truth about his evil plans must be revealed. So until Flynn absorbs Scott Sigler and becomes our new FDO, make mine GRD. That's from Gringay, or Gringe, apparently, as he once upon a time was known as.
Yeah.
Although he does like Gringay because it makes him sound like a Lothario.
Ooh.
Interesting idea, sir. Yay, glad you guys are feeling better and are back, although it was nice to hear the vicar last week. Sure, that was him. I've had a few bouts with the sickness also and was sad that I had to miss the pub crawl. Actually, I've never been on a pub crawl, so make sure you have another one so I can share my first time with you all. That's from Maria. P.S. There's a new graphic novel by Michael Keller based on Darwin's On the Origin of Species. I just think it's really cool, science and graphic novel form. That is pretty cool. And I'm sorry that you did miss the pub crawl. It was a damn fine time.
Yeah, Maria,
and,
she's over there at the... She's now at the forums over there at geekradiodaily.com.
And guarantee it, I promise you, there will be another pub crawl.
Yes, there will.
Of course, it's not going to happen for like a year,
but it
is on the way. So if you'd like to tell us how you're doing, or figure out who I'm going to absorb next, by all means, send us a note at podcast, Billy Flynn, Vicar, the Bruce, or Flinstress, all of us located at geekradiodaily.com. Tuesday, of course, means we've got to check out your DVDs and your geekified news coming up this Tuesday, November 17th edition of Geek Radio Daily.
Great coffee.
Hey. Chad, who's that strange, somber man on the cover of that book you're reading?
Oh, that's H.P. Lovecraft.
Oh, I've heard of him, but I never really got into his stuff. It's kind of strange and hard to read.
No, I used to think that too, but that all changed when I started listening to the H.P. Lovecraft Literary Podcast.
What's that?
The H.P. Lovecraft Literary Podcast is a weekly podcast.
Tell me more.
These two really smart and hilarious guys give a synopsis of the story, then they talk about its background, the critical views, and what it says about the author.
Well, where can I listen?
Let me tell you, Chris, you can go to hppodcraft.com or, heck, just subscribe through iTunes. It's that easy.
Oh, Chad, I'm so excited. Now I can listen to this podcast and pretend to all my snooty friends that I actually read and understand H.P. Lovecraft.
Hey, that's what I do.
Oh, dear.
HPPodcraft.com.
Hi, this is Marina Baccarin, and you're listening to Geek Radio Daily.
You certainly are. Geek Radio Daily for Tuesday, November 17th. It's weird, man. It was like 75 degrees yesterday.
Yeah, it was.
Third week of November, 75 degrees.
That's excellent. Oh, I'm loving this.
That's hot as love right there. Hot as love.
Sir.
What?
Are either one of these any good?
I don't watch movies.
Well, that's okay, because some of the rest of us do, and we're all going to go pick up Star Trek today.
Yeah.
I was going to stop my list there, but apparently there are other things coming out.
There are other things coming out. We also have, besides Star Trek, is Bruno.
Bruno!
Yes.
That'd make a good double feature.
No.
Yeah, it would.
No one.
Star Trek, Bruno?
No.
They're so thematically similar.
Somehow.
The film that what now?
Yeah. The film that nobody's, you know, letting everybody know. It's like, hey, Bruno's out. No commercials for it whatsoever. Also, today is My Sister's Keeper. This, one of the tearjerkers.
Oh, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. A Very Sunny Christmas is out today.
With that crew? Oh, God.
The complete Farscape all in one big, huge box for you.
Yeah, that was a great show. I watched that, what, first, second season, then I kind of tapered
off? I think
so. Yeah, it was amazing like that. Gone with the Wind, the 70th anniversary edition.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
Yeah.
Let's see. Andy Barker, P.I., the complete series, which... Yep. Yeah.
13 episodes.
Yeah, 13 episodes. Yeah. But
The Best of Star Trek, both the original series and The Next Generation, Volume 2, which means it's not the best episodes, but it's the pretty good episodes.
Cheerleaders Wild Weekend is out today. But, you know, if we're going to watch anything, why would we not watch the story of the United States Army attempting to turn a microscopic extraterrestrial organism into a powerful military weapon? Their intent was to resurrect fallen soldiers to create the ultimate fighting force, but instead the alien turned the soldiers against one another. Tonight, Sandra Ramirez and Noel B. face off in Evolution. See what they did there. Okay.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News!
Taking a look at the world from a geeky point of view. So Disney.
Yeah?
Disney's a dick. And here's why.
Okay, to tell.
Well, up came to DVD. And I don't know if you noticed this.
I heard.
Okay. Well, if you bought the DVD, you got the movie, you got the little extra cartoon, all these special features and blah, blah, blah. However, if you rented up, you'll have learned that Disney's new money-saving technique is that DVDs that go to rental chains do not have the special features on them.
Ah.
If you want those... You have to buy the DVD. What the hell is going on with that cord? Anyway, now while some people are going, well, wait a minute, that's a very smart business decision. I see that. That's clever. Sure, that is clever. If they want to do that, that's fine. My question is, why are closed caption for the hearing impaired considered a special feature?
Really?
The rental version has no closed captioning, and the subtitles only have French and Spanish.
Wow.
So if you're deaf and you want to see this movie,
you have to buy it. Lovely.
Thanks, Disney.
Oh,
thanks
lovely.
For that.
Lovely, lovely. Okay, Larry Charles. We know Larry Charles. He's the writer-director of Seinfeld, Curb Your Enthusiasm, and Bruno. Surprise, surprise.
Yep.
He's developing a new sitcom for NBC about a group of small-town fanboys who decide to make their own new episodes of their favorite sci-fi series after it gets canceled.
Now, that's a damn clever idea.
That's a really good idea. Like Curb and Borat, there's going to be a lot of improv elements to it.
Okay.
But, you know, they're doing this because Big Bang Theory on CBS is like one of the biggest shows out there right now. It's the highest rated sitcom on television. But he's taken the idea of shows such as Star Trek and, you know, Next Generation, all kind of fun stuff like that, and people who have actually made fan movies.
Wow.
Because of this.
That's
Star Trek Phase 2.
Yes.
Big one.
Good stuff.
So they're going to do something like that. So they're going to be it's going to be improv of them doing that.
Okay. Well, some slightly sad news. Dominic Ossorio passed away Friday at Johns Hopkins Children's Center. He was a 7-year-old who had been hospitalized for 2 months. He was diagnosed with cancer in 2007, and his mom, Nicole, created the story of The Dominator, a superhero, to help him through his cancer treatments. Now, the owner of a local pizza parlor, they turned the story into a comic book. They spent about $9,000 to design, create, and copyright The Dominator, and they published 2,000 copies of it.
Oh,
it sold more than 1,000 copies since August. It costs $5 if you can find one. Sales benefit children's cancer's research. And that's just awesome.
That is great. I'm just hoping Domino's does not try to sue them.
Yeah.
Because they used to have a pizza called The Dominator.
They did, but they're jerks.
Yeah, hopefully they won't go that route. Don't pay him a dead kid, man. Seriously.
Okay,
wrong.
We'll move on, and I'll find someone else dead for you.
Okay, cool. Broken Lizard, they're out doing their promotion for the new upcoming comedy, The Slamming Salmon.
Shenanigans.
Oh, it gets better.
Okay.
Oh, they're hopefully doing a sequel to 2002's Super Troopers. And it is progressing. I love that movie.
I don't know that we need a sequel, though.
They said they've got the financing, so they're going to do the deal with Fox.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Well, Fox Movies. Okay. Not Fox Television.
Not Fox Searchlight?
I don't know.
Okay.
It's independent, so it might be Fox Searchlight.
Yeah, okay.
They've already got scripts. They've got 3 drafts into it. The financing they've got, so all they need right now is a studio deal. Brian Cox will be in the return.
Okay.
He says he loved being in the first one, wants to do it, is really interested in doing the second one. Slam and Salmon is coming out December 11th.
Okay. And seriously, I do have someone else that has passed away that we have to say goodbye to.
Okay.
Sir, veteran British actor Edward Woodward has died at the age of 79. He's best known, sure, he was in The Wicker Man. He was in a TV show called Callan, but he's probably best known not for Breaker Morant, not for any of that. He's best known as being the Equalizer.
Oh, I remember that.
He passed away in hospital after battling illness, including pneumonia. In a statement, his agent Janet Glass says, universally loved and admired, though through his unforgettable roles in classic productions, he was equally fine and courageous in real life, never losing his brave spirit and wonderful humor throughout his illness. And, sir, the man will be missed. He made a version of The Wicker Man that we don't all laugh at because Nicolas Cage smacks bears or something. I don't know. Very bad. Go equalize the universe for us, Edward. We'd appreciate it, sir. Geek Radio Daily, drop by iTunes, subscribe while you're there. Write a review. Read some of the lovely reviews that are there, including haikus. Some done correctly, some not so much, but still, a damn fine time all around.
Yeah.
GRD's license to the Creative Commons Attributions, Non-Commercial, Non-Derivative Works, United States 3.0 license. And also, if you would, send some mail. We love it. It's podcast Billy Flynn, Vicko the Brewster, Flinsters, all at geekradiodaily.com.
I have a problem to solve, you and I.
You have 5 seconds to give me the name.
Time's up. Throw him out of the window.
Oh, I am someone you really wouldn't want to get to know.
All you need to know is that I'm going to crack you wide open.
Such humor, such finesse from such a jerk.
Where is he?
And you will not like what I do.
Please don't do anything you will never live to regret.